will be Ephesians chapter 6. I know we've been going through Romans on Sunday night, and I know some of you may be wondering why we're not in Romans, but the passage we were going to be in is a very delicate passage. It is a very powerful passage, but it is also a passage that especially a lot of Calvinists and things use to promote a lot of their ideology and things of that nature. And so I wanted to be able to make sure I understood the passage right and that I was going to be able to preach it in a way that was not going to be confusing, so that y'all would be able to be grounded where you're at. Because, like I said, it gets taken out of context a lot, and people push it to teach a lot of wrong doctrine there. And so just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and that it's done the right way and that I'm rightly dividing the Word of God. And so because of that, I wanted to take a little bit of a break. So I'm actually preaching an old message that I preached here a long time ago. And I was talking with my pastor down in Bowie, just, hey, have you ever done this, you know, when you haven't understood a passage clearly or wanted to make sure you were preaching it right? And he said, yes, you're not the only one. And talked with a couple other people about what the passage meant. So I'm going to give it one more week to kind of simmer on it and make sure that we're of good understanding with it. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6. I preached this message when we were going through the armor of God. And it's amazing. I told Brother Brian I was in Acts. He's probably sitting there going, well, he said Acts this morning. He's a liar. But because I was just talking with him about it. But it's amazing. I preached this message, like I said, early on in the pastorate here. And it's amazing when you look back at old messages, you're like, what was this guy thinking when he was preaching? Not doctrinal-wise, just the way I had it organized and different things. I was like, man, this guy was not organized when he had this outlined or anything. And so I'm excited to get into this tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start in verse number 10. We're going to read through all the way to verse 20, but we're really going to dwell on a couple verses here. Not the whole passage, but I want us to get all of it for just context's sake. Verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, he's saying, because of all that, because we're facing all of this spiritual warfare, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then we're mainly going to concentrate on verses 18, 19, and 20 tonight. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so tonight, as we get into this, I want to remind us that we are in a spiritual battle. Satan is out to destroy us. Satan's not out just to make us stumble, okay? He doesn't want to just trip us up. The Bible says he wants to completely devour us. And so he is out to completely just make sure that we are of no further use to God. We're in a battle, and I want us to understand that this battle cannot be won in our own strength. It's just not going to be feasible to be done. It says right here in verse 10 that you have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It doesn't say, well, you know, just be strong in the power of your own might. It has to be done. This spiritual battle has to be done through his might. I do want to put in your mind, I know this was part of a bigger series when I preached this before, but there is a three-part battle plan that God really gives in this passage, and the first one is to stand. You have to stand against Satan. It does no good just to turn your back and go the other way. I say that carefully because it does say in the Bible to flee and things of that nature, you know. But you have to stand against Satan. I've told you about my dog, Ray, and we rescued both our dogs. They're came out of abusive situations. But my dog, Ray, if you just lift your hand up to her real quick, she cowers down. She'll plop over like she's dead because she's so scared. That's not how we ought to be against Satan. We ought to stand. And the second part of that is we don't just stand. We stand with the whole armor of God on. And so we have to put on the whole armor of God. But then the third part of that we see here is to pray. And that's what we want to focus on tonight is this idea of prayer. I hope that we make a determination to stand against Satan. And I pray that we put on the armor of God every day. But none of that is of any effect if we don't pray. Because that prayer is what really links us to God and makes us depend on Him. So this evening I want to look at prayer. I want to look at how it affects our lives and how it really aids us in this battle against Satan. Notice here, as we go back to verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The idea behind that is we need to be in an attitude of prayer. We need to constantly have an attitude of prayer with us. We talked about it a little bit this morning. I know some of the things I say in this message and what I talked about just the brief little bit we talked about prayer this morning will kind of overlap, but I think it's necessary. Prayer is us relying on God. It's us saying, hey, I can't do this on my own. I need your power. You're the only thing that's sufficient. So when you bow your head or you drop to your knees in prayer and you bring your request to God, you're placing it in His hand. You're saying, listen, I don't have control of this situation, Lord. I need you to step in. The word prayer here gives the idea of a devotional side of prayer. This isn't necessarily praying about some particular request. This is about being in that attitude of prayer constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We're supposed to constantly be praying. Did you know that the mere fact that a child of God is coming before the Father causes Satan to tremble? And maybe you've heard this said, Satan trembles when he sees even the weakest Christian on his knees praying, because in that moment, it's not about the Christian, it's about the God of that Christian and what God can do. It's not about how amazing or eloquent your prayer sounds. It's not about necessarily even the words that you're speaking. It's about the God that we're praying to. And so Satan fears the fact that a needy child of God is approaching the throne of God asking for help. And so I want to address a couple things with prayer. Sometimes there's a lot of questions with prayer. And one of that would just be where you're supposed to pray, okay? Do you need to be in a quiet place where you're all alone, okay? The book of Daniel talks about that Daniel went into his house and I'll just read the verse here so I don't mess it up. Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And I believe that prayer works best when we are in a place that is free from distractions and it's a quiet place. Maybe you have a prayer closet at home that you get into, things of that nature. And that's all well and good, and you need some places like that, but you can pray in your car. Be cautious there. We'll talk about that one in a moment. You can pray when you're sitting at the break room at work. You can, of course, pray in a restaurant. And I believe when people see us praying, it gives a testimony to the Lord. But with that, it also brings into question, well, do you have to have your eyes closed to pray? No, you don't. I know some that
I
didn't want to know what was said over there.
Not if you're driving.
Yeah, not if you're driving, that's for sure. I know some that believe, well, you got to have your eyes closed. And I get it. A lot of the reason we close our eyes is so we don't see everything that goes on. And Satan can cause our minds to wander. But you actually see nowhere in Scripture where it says you need to close your eyes when you pray. In fact, some of my best times that I've ever prayed have been while I've been mowing the yard or driving or up in a deer stand. And when you're up in a deer stand, you don't close your eyes. Because you might just have a big doe or buck walk in front of you and you don't want to miss that opportunity. But you can pray with your eyes open. The idea behind always praying here means that no matter where you're at or no matter what you're doing, you can pause and say a prayer to the Lord. And listen, it doesn't always have to be some deep prayer. It can be something kind of quick and spur of the moment. Because again, God knows our heart with all of it. Maybe you're at work and a situation has you a little riled up and you're getting a little frustrated. Well, you can say a quick prayer at that point and say, Lord, help me not to get angry here. Maybe you're driving down the road and Satan throws some depressing thought into your mind that you know you shouldn't dwell on. And Lord, help me get rid of this thought, or whatever the case might be. And so prayer to God can happen in a split moment when you're weak and you need His help. Because essentially a prayer is just having a conversation with God. Now, I do encourage you should have some sort of quiet place where you can get away quietly with God. It could be the car, a bedroom, a closet, a barn, wherever. My two favorite places to pray by far are the deer stand and mowing the yard. Some of my sweetest talks have come with God while riding a mower. So if you ever drive by the church and you see the yard lines look like this from mowing, you'll know I was praying while I was mowing. But we need to remove the distractions sometimes and just spread out our prayer list before God and just pray. In a few moments, we'll kind of see from the passage some of the requests that we can lift up to the Lord. But not only do we see kind of a physical location and talk about that, but just also the mental side of prayer. Because listen, when you start to pray, Satan's really going to start to battle you hard. He doesn't want you coming before God Almighty. And that's why verse 18 here says that with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. The idea is that our prayers and our supplication should be done in the Spirit. Don't be praying in the flesh. Don't be praying to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. A coworker asked a friend why he got donuts if he was trying to diet. And the guy replied, well, I came around the corner where the donut shop was, and I told God that if He had a front place parking spot for me, I would know that it's His will. And on the eighth time around the block, He had a spot wide open for me. We need to make sure that we're praying in the Spirit. Listen, it's tough to battle Satan when you've been walking in the flesh. And so we need to be making sure that we're praying in the Spirit. And listen, that doesn't mean going into some trance or speaking some non-understandable words. It means, again, just having a conversation with God. One of the big ways Satan tries to distract us and to cause us to stumble in our prayers is just bring wandering thoughts to our mind. And it's not necessarily always something bad. Maybe a prayer for Aunt Susie reminds you of her cat, and then thoughts of her cat remind you that Jim said there was a mouse in his office, and then that reminds you to get a mouse trap the next time you're at the hardware store, and then the hardware store reminds you of the camera shop next door and the roll of film that you need to be developed, and so on. And then several minutes later, you realize you are way off base from praying. You've gone down a big rabbit hole. And Satan wants to do that to us, because he doesn't want us bringing our needs to the Lord. And so Satan likes to discourage us or get us sidetracked or even bring wicked thoughts into our mind that will get us off base with our prayers. Satan sometimes also can fill our mind with worldly thoughts to where we just start praying again in the flesh. We start praying for the things that we want instead of what God really wants. Maybe we start praying for, well, you know, Lord, I've got this test next week. I need to pass it. Or, I need a better job, or I need this to happen. And there's nothing wrong with praying with those things, but we need to make sure our priorities are in the right place. And so praying in the Spirit will allow the Holy Spirit to bring maybe verses into our mind, but it will allow us to be able to handle fighting Satan while we're in prayer. I want to remind us that when we pray, we're bringing our prayers to an almighty God. I love the verses in Psalms. And listen, David, he goes through an emotional roller coaster in the book of Psalms. But constantly you will see him saying things like, Lord, I cried and you heard me. And I'm so thankful that we have a God that hears us when we pray. And so we need to remember that we are bringing those prayers to his throne. Then we see here the perseverance and the supplication for all saints. He says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The idea behind watching means lying sleepless. Any of you ever had a sleepless night? Usually if I have a sleepless night, it's because my back hurts or my shoulder hurts or something like that. You know, you get those aches and pains that keep you up all night. But I want us to look at a story, and we actually looked at it just a brief moment this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he's not just saying, hey, sit there and look at me while I pray. Okay, that's not what he's saying. He's essentially saying, join with me in prayer. I'm going to be over here and I want you over here. Verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And of course, we know this happens a couple more times. The disciples could not stay awake and pray with Jesus. It would do us well to have some sleepless nights now and then. I know how it is sometimes. Maybe you wake up and you first thing you're going to do, okay, I'm going to pray. And then you find yourself starting to doze back off again. But there's some times that God just wakes you up in the middle of the night. And maybe he lays something on your heart or someone on your heart. And you know that you just need to go in prayer for that. Listen, you could pray about the state of our country, the affairs of the world, the condition of our churches, the needs of family and friends, our own spiritual lives. Listen, sometimes we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, but we struggle to spend 5 minutes in prayer. And the idea with this verse, he says, with all perseverance. That means that you are continuing on to pray. We're to watch with perseverance. Listen, there's too many times that we give up too soon with our prayers. We pray for something once, maybe even for a whole week. We go, oh man, you know what? I prayed for this for the last week. And then we're just kind of done. God didn't answer it. Or, well, it's just not seeming to get anywhere. A cartoon picture showed a little boy kneeling in prayer. And he was a little disgruntled with the results of his prayer. And he was talking with God and he said, Listen, Aunt Harriet hasn't gotten married yet, Lord. And Uncle Herbert hasn't any work, and Daddy's hair is still falling out. I'm getting tired of praying for this family without getting any results. It's easy to sit there sometimes and get discouraged because we're praying and we're praying and we're praying, and it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. But this verse encourages us to keep praying no matter what. Maybe you've heard stories, and maybe you've been in the same boat where you've heard of people praying for 10, 15, 20 years for someone to get saved or for someone to get right with God, and then finally, boom, God answers that prayer. Don't give up on praying just because you don't see a result after a little bit. Satan wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to quit praying. Don't stop. So that brings to our mind, well, if praying is so important here, then what are we supposed to pray for? And I want to remind you, and listen, we could sit there and yes, there are verses all over Scripture, you know, of praying for all sorts of different things, but we're dealing with this passage here. This is not just a passage about prayer. This is a passage about doing battle with Satan. And so everything is in the context of spiritual battle right here. And so this is not just about general prayer requests of, well, Lord, I need this, you know, we're struggling a little bit over here, and we need this, you know, Lord, I need a new truck. I'm getting tired of praying for that because every time, of course, most of you know I had the Dodge pickup when we moved here. We pass a Dodge pickup on the road, and Kim's like, and the kids do it too. Oh, look at that truck over there. I'm not looking. But sometimes we can get so caught up in those kind of prayers, but that's not what this passage is really talking about. It's talking about this battle with Satan. It's praying about, or it's encouraging us that our prayers be focused towards spiritual victory in people's lives, in our own life. And so when it's even talking about supplication for all saints, listen, everyone around us is going through some sort of spiritual battle, and we need to pray for them. That's a big reason why we come to church. It's so we can talk with other Christians and be encouraged by them and share with them the struggles that we're facing so that we can be prayed for and so that we know how to pray for them. But here's the problem. Many times we're so scared to open up about our spiritual struggles that we're facing, or the discouragement we've had, or maybe the darts that Satan's been throwing at us. We're scared to open up about those. And I think the reason is we're scared of being judged instead of being prayed for. This church here needs to be known as a praying church, a church family that when someone has a need, we're going to pray for them. I believe some of that doubt has come from experience, maybe experiences in our life where we've gotten to somebody and we've gotten close with someone and we said, hey, I need you to pray for this. I'm having this struggle in my life. And the next thing you know, you're the center of church gossip. The person across the auditorium that you didn't tell about that all of a sudden knows all of it. And you're going, well, I didn't do that. And I think sometimes we're scared of a little bit of that. And that's why it's imperative that each and every one of us love God and love people, because if we love people, we wouldn't gossip about them. We would be genuinely concerned about the spiritual issues they are facing. And we would pray that they receive spiritual victory. Listen, none of us in this room are perfect. I don't think any one of us in here would want our dirty laundry aired out in front of everybody. And so we shouldn't do that for other people. I'm not saying that's an issue here, okay, with gossip. I'm saying I think that's a reason we struggle with opening up to other people about the spiritual issues we face, because we're afraid that next thing you know, everyone's going to be talking about it. And so because of that, we don't want to be open and vulnerable. We don't want to tell people, you know what, I faced this discouraging thought this week, or Satan brought this temptation into my life. I really need prayer over that. When you look through Scripture, that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be sharing that with each other. We ought to be praying about those situations with each other. But we also see here in verse 19 and 20 that Paul is specifically asking for prayer himself. He knew that he would be the target of Satan because he was out on the front lines witnessing and trying to touch people's lives. And keep in mind that while Paul is writing this, he's writing to the Ephesian church, but he's actually 1,200 miles away from there, writing it in Rome. And so he's writing to these people and he's saying, listen, I want to share with you some opportunities that you can be praying for me with. And there's two things I want to address with this. I believe I can do it in the context of this. We see here the idea of praying for our spiritual leaders. And I'm just going to say this. I need those of you in the church to pray for me. If Satan's going to attack anybody in the church, he's going to start with the leadership of the church. Satan would love to trip me up. Because Satan knows if he can discourage me or get me sidetracked, then I'm not going to lead correctly. I'm not going to be able to impact lives like I ought to. I'm not going to be able to preach like I ought to. And that's why, look here in verse 20, he says specifically, he's talking about the gospel. He says, I'm an ambassador in bonds. And here's what he says, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul here is dealing with bonds. He's aware of the enemy's opposition, but he knew that through prayer, his fellow believers could help him face that opposition that was standing against the gospel, and they would be able to help him, and he would be able to stand boldly and preach like he ought to preach. And I encourage you to do the same with me. Pray that God would help in those situations. So I'm going to ask you this evening, I know it's a short message. Like I said, I didn't switch the message till, I don't know, it was late last night. I was not planning on going this direction, so with everything. But I'm going to ask you this evening, how's your prayer life? Are there some things that you used to pray for, but you don't really anymore? You've just kind of grown weary of praying for them because you didn't feel you were getting any results. Well, I want to encourage you, don't give up in that. Start praying for those things again. Are you taking time to pray for other Christians and for those that are leading churches or whatever the case might be? Because listen, if you want to win the battle against Satan, just start focusing your prayers on those around you. Again, it's so easy to sit there and say, Lord, I've got this bill, and Lord, I stubbed my toe, and I need prayer for that. I'm not making light of any of that, okay? We pray for people's health and all of that. But we need to pray for spiritual victory in people's lives. Because more so than the physical battles that you face day in and day out, everybody's facing spiritual battles. And so they need that prayer. They need that encouragement. I encourage you, find somebody that you can share your prayer requests with. I know it's hard to open up. It's hard to be vulnerable. But it's worth it when you have some people that you know will pray for you. And so I encourage you, as a church, as a Christian, make sure you're praying for others and for yourself in this area of spiritual battles. Listen, as we continue to grow and as God continues to bless, and we've already been dealing with it over the last couple weeks, Satan is going to fight. And it's going to start in individuals' lives. And so the best thing we can do is just be praying for each other. Be praying that God will protect and that God will be with people and that He will continue to work, because it's only going to come about if God steps in. Again, I'm going to read verse 10 again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, it doesn't say put on your whole armor. It says put on the whole armor of who? God. You cannot fight the spiritual battle without leaning on God. You cannot do it in your own strength. Listen, if you're sitting there and you're discouraged, going, man, it just seems like I never get any victory in this area of my life, and I'm fighting, and it's always the same story. Well, guess what? Maybe it's because you've been fighting in your own strength. And maybe it's time that you just lean on God and say, okay, God, I can't fight it in my own strength. I'm just going to lose. I need your help. And I guarantee you that's the only way you're going to win. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. We're not going to do an invitation or anything. But I just want to encourage you to be a prayer warrior. Be constantly praying in your own life. Be praying for the lives of others. Because you'd be amazed what God would do.